Welcome to Brothers and Balrogs, the podcast where four brothers pretend to be four brothers. I am your Dungeon Master, Noah Pryor, and with me are my brothers.
Hello, I am Drew Pryor. I play Z, our Path of the Demogorgon Barbarian.
My name is Ransom. I'm your Metalist brother, and I
you
play
can't say
Ellis.
That.
The, I can say that.
I've what, told
why
you
can't
that.
I say that?
No.
What? Wait, what's wrong with that? Is that not good?
I don't think it's trademarked, but it should be.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. My bad. I'm your most middle brother, Ransom. I play Ellis, the wild magic sorcerer.
I am Justice Pryor. I am the youngest brother, and I am the phantom rogue brother.
Okay. The phantom rogue brother.
The phantom rogue brother. I'm the phantom rogue.
It's not a
brother.
Character. You don't play Will. You just,
oh,
you
yeah.
just are the phantom.
I am the phantom rogue. I am Will, otherwise known as the phantom rogue.
Okay. So welcome to the podcast after the podcast where we, I'm unintentionally referencing more D&D podcasts.
Roll with it. Welcome to Talking Dad.
We're just gonna call it Talking Dad. No. So we just finished episode 2 of our show. And how are we feeling?
Well, I'll be honest with you. At this point in the story, I'm laying on the ground, bleeding out. So I'm not feeling great, but I'm having
a
good time, and I feel like it's an accurate portrayal of what the story is going to continue to be, where Ellis is for some reason unconscious, on the verge of death, and the other two are upset about it for one reason or another. And I think that's going to be a thing that's going to keep happening as the story goes on.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you guys are, with the exception of Z, pretty squishy characters.
Mm-hmm.
Glass cannons, yeah, I believe is the term for it.
Like the guy in Unbreakable, that M. Night Shyamalan movie
Mr.
that
Glass.
Dad really likes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like Samuel L. Jackson falls down the stairs, and it's not funny. It's not funny. That scene is not funny. It's not funny. It's so that scene where he falls down the stairs and breaks all of his bones is not funny.
It isn't funny.
Yeah, it was world record on fastest way to remove every bone in the human body, and he just picked stairs.
It's a land speed record. It really is.
Just, yeah. I'd say it's fair to say that you guys definitely did not see that coming. Yeah, that was fun.
I will ask though, are you keeping in mind my very high passive perception?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
And what about
I will not at this time reveal the stat block I am using for the woman with purple hair, but I can assure you her stealth be good.
Mm-hmm. So no, are you, but I want to know, are you keeping in mind my insanely low passive perception?
Oh, believe me, I'm definitely keeping that in mind.
And what about my mid to fine passive perception?
I forgot about that one.
Forgot about it. Gosh dang it. Every time.
Yeah, sorry.
it's the role. I am the middlest brother. Sorry, the most middle brother, as it's possibly trademarked.
But yeah, so things are not looking too good for Ellis. But I don't know. I feel good about your chances. I think that Z is in a state where he is pretty well equipped. But
skill sheet,
yeah. And I will say, things are not looking good for Ellis right now. But they could be a lot worse because. Little peek behind the curtain. All four of us are in a different campaign that I also DM that has 6 PCs in it, which means for this, we're cutting the party I am used to in half. And all of our listeners are going to be along the ride for us as I try to make that correction, because as anyone who has DM'd for six PCs or more before, you can't kill them, so you can throw pretty much anything at them, and they'll probably be fine. Mm-hmm. It's a little different with only three. When all that is to say, Ella straight up could have full died if he had. I'm he aware. Actually would have full died if he did not succeed on that con save.
I'm aware. I remember when you said, okay, you succeed on that, and then you said the amount of damage it was, and I looked up and I was like, I was like, okay, that's a very tight window of what I could have survived, you know?
Yeah.
That is just, that was very, very close.
A whole campaign based around four specific brothers and one of them
dead by episode two.
There's only one brother remaining by the time we get there, and we're like, it's your fault for bringing us out here. This is like, this is your fault.
But by the time we get there, it's just three completely different.
This is like, it's like a reverse. Yeah, it goes from us like doing like a rescue mission. Yeah, it goes from us doing a rescue mission and to turning into Saving Private Ryan, to where we're all just playing like cousins or close friends. And we're just like, Isaac, you're the only one left of your bloodline. You gotta get out of here.
Dude, you gotta, yeah.
You gotta go home, man. Yeah. You gotta go home. And he's like, wait, what happened? I thought they were strong enough. Dude. Yeah. Like, also, we're shot. We're used to playing at much higher levels on average. So a stab to the gut is more of an inconvenience than a life-threatening condition.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I've also, you know, I'm staying true to my word here. I promised the listeners that there will always be stakes.
Not one.
He's promised that, but he has not delivered on the grill.
Nope,
not even once.
He keeps promising it. And
not that kind of steak.
He doesn't even own a grill.
Guys, not that kind of steak. I was talking about the like wooden steaks that kill like vampires.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen a single one of those either.
But yeah, let's go around. And how about everybody just talk about their favorite part of the episode? Justice, why don't you go first?
I had several parts that I really liked. And a lot of them were just, it felt good to be good at rogue things. And episode two, rolling like 16s and above on everything except for that one move to avoid the gelatinous cube.
My gosh, that was so ridiculous. You were just rolling like, you rolled two nat 20s. All you had to do was roll above a five. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to roll above a five and I got a three, I think.
You got lucky too, because I rolled so bad on your damage. Z later on took literally double what you took for the same attack. Like, that's just how bad I rolled on your damage.
Yeah, I was very confronted with my character's mortality in that scene. But speaking of mortality, for some reason, my favorite part that I can just think of the session was the introduction of fodder, and specifically just the background of him just, I'm gonna do it, I'm ready.
I'm not sure why, but I'm gonna do it this time.
I know he's fine and he'll be along for the journey, but yeah. I like how extreme he got.
Wait, why are you so convinced of that?
He's a fan favorite.
Yeah, I don't think you'll kill him, Noah.
I don't think you have the balls unless we do it ourselves. To kill fodder off screen.
Guys, his name is fodder.
Yeah, and he needs to die in battle like a hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fodder is fired from cannons.
I just don't want you guys to get too attached.
Fodder is honestly capable of anything. I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually the one who took Isaac.
Oh, you think he's the BBEG? Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think it is BBEG.
Yeah. It's big, bad, evil guy.
Big, bad, evil guy, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah, who knows? We will see.
I mean, you would know.
Unless fodder's that good. Not even the DM knows.
snuck by everyone.
He fooled me, guys.
I really thought he was going to die off screen in episode 2.
I was positive he wasn't going to make it this far.
It's going to be like episode 80, and you're going to be like, and the door opens, and you see fodder. You're like, what? And we're like, it's no. fodder? And you're like, guys, I didn't know. He told me it wasn't him. It's like,
well.
well.
If it isn't the boys falling right into my trap. And
Beetle stands up on her hind legs. You're blowing my cover, you fool.
Now that sounds very likely. That sounds extremely likely that Beetle is up to no good.
Yeah, she got into several shenanigans this episode. I'm honestly having way too much fun being a cat.
Thinking of making it your full-time gig?
Yeah. And I love, like, specifically getting underneath Ransom's skin. I just know how certain things Beetle does are just going to, like, irritate you.
Like, they try and get her to do the thing, and then as soon as she doesn't need to do it, she stands up. So frustrating.
Drew, what about you? Favorite moment?
I don't necessarily have a favorite moment of this particular episode. There were several parts that I thought were really funny and really did enjoy playing. I really did enjoy getting to actually do barbarian things and then also get punished by being a barbarian outside of getting to do barbarian things. Like, you know, searching the exact same room for like 8 hours and being unsuccessful and then getting punished for that, which I find very amusing.
Yeah.
Just little things like that, like just making check after check and failing all of them, not just because of my bad scores, but because I just roll really bad.
Yeah.
And that's just very amusing to me. And then the second he gets to actually go off and just like hit things and do the thing he's good at, he just, I don't think he failed at all. Like, I think he missed one attack in total.
Yeah, you got an at one, which is literally, I believe, the only thing you could possibly roll to not hit a gelatinous cube. Its AC is 6. So,
yeah.
So, what were you saying, Drew?
Hmm?
Oh, no, I thought that you were just wrapping up what you were talking about before.
No, I'm just tired. My brain isn't working at all. I'm trying my very best not to play with everything on my desk right now.
Drew's just looking at like a desk, and it's similar to, like, you know, when in like movies when there's like an assassin and they take out all the things from their briefcase and all the different parts of the sniper rifle and lay it out very nicely. It's that, but with Drew, it's just a bunch of different arts and crafts and like a little guy and like, you know, like a bunch of toys.
Currently, I have a drill. Here's some pliers.
Okay.
Toenail clippers. Here's a couple like stabby dudes for leather working.
Mm.
Here's a sketchbook.
Heck yeah.
Here's different parts of a guitar I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
This is all great podcast content.
Thank you.
Drew, if you could keep showing the camera your stuff so that this is the thing though. This does show genuinely though, what is that?
This is my lighter. I actually play with this almost constantly because it doesn't
turn that on.
Is
that a blowtorch?
Nice.
That's so cool.
It doesn't make a lot of sound, and so every time Ransom's actually commented, it looks like I'm burning something. It's because I am. I just light little things on fire.
Drew, your floor is carpet. What are you doing?
That's why I'm lighting little things on fire.
Okay.
Like okay. I said, it's really hard not to play with the stuff. Like, I'm trying my very hardest. Yeah. Not to make noise. And fire is a lot quieter than metal. So
that is true. Ransom, what's your favorite moment?
Stampede.
Hmm.
I very, very,
yeah.
That whole bit, it was a perfect joke. Just killed me. And listen, when it happened, you and You cut out like probably 2 minutes of laughter.
Yeah,
of us.
That's what I was gonna say.
Like, I was down for the count for a while from that. That really, yeah. really got me.
I thought about leaving it all in, but it was legitimately like it. We had to like pause the podcast for like 5 minutes.
It was just it was one of those times where like the joke is good, but the timing, the delivery, like all of it together, and just how surprised I was, you know,
yeah,
just genuinely, it just destroyed me. I was full. Yeah. I was out of commission for a while, and then listening back, it made me laugh really hard again. I wasn't fully out of commission, but I knew it was coming, and I was excited because I was like, "Oh, here comes the stampede bit." It's just so funny.
That whole scene would probably be my favorite part of the episode. It was just such a real, like, it was our first glimpse into the brother dynamic, aside from like brothers as kids. This is the first time in the podcast that you get to see them just like interact, having a conversation with each other. I don't know, I just thought that it was just so beautifully awkward, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know how much of that was us just being awkward or acting, but it worked really well.
I think that the main thing is that we're unfamiliar with these characters and we're unfamiliar with each other's characters. So it happened really organically because we're getting to know our own characters and getting to know each other's characters, similar to how they are getting to know each other and kind of being reintroduced with that. I know you, but I don't fully know you as well as I used to. And, you know, and like it was kind of unintentional. But it was also, it just worked really well because it was just happening organically, you know?
I think one of the main reasons why I loved the idea of doing this as a podcast was because I knew that glimpses of us would subconsciously like slide through. Brothers that have been apart from each other and reuniting, it's not always like super easy for us to just be like, hey, let me, like, there was no hugging. There was no like, oh, I missed you so much. How have you been? You know what I'm saying? Like Ellis kind of had to carry all of that on his back. And I don't know. It felt very real to me. I don't know. It's a very unique opportunity, I think, for us. I really enjoyed seeing the first little glimpse of that. So what do you all think is going to happen next? Does anybody have any major predictions about what lies in store for you in episode 3?
I think that Fodder will return kind of Marvel movie style. I think that after the credits, there was a post-credit scene where Fodder was in a gym punching a boxing bag and just launched it. Okay. And then he turned around and he was like, I'm gonna do it this time. And he picks up a 44 Magnum and he's gonna go take care of business. And I think that he's gonna be back.
What business?
How am I supposed to know that? No, I just saw the scene. I'm reacting to what
so
I saw.
Just a completely like not relevant to the story, just side plot.
No, it's extremely relevant to the story.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Extremely relevant. It is crucial to the plot.
No. Have you ever heard of Vecna?
I honestly don't. He either is Vecna or could kill Vecna, and I don't care to know the difference.
You don't care.
It's the altered Brian David Gilbert line.
Outside of the podcast, I did find a fun history fact. Turns out Vecna didn't exist until like a couple issues after they released the Hand and Eye of Vecna. They made those two items and then built Vecna around them.
Interesting.
That kind of
there was no stat sheet. There was no serious history. It was just, there is a dude that was Vecna, and if you take the sacrifice of chopping your own hand off, you have the potential of getting power. Gouging out your own eye, you have the potential of getting some of his power. But Vecna himself wasn't an actual, like, official, like, character they had fleshed out
do,
at all
do you
until
think
later.
That soon they're going to create a character called Holding?
They actually do have the Bagman.
Okay.
It's in Curse of Strahd. It's an actual monster. You can look it up.
What do they do?
Well, every time somebody puts anything in or out of the bag of holding, you roll a D100 and there's a chance that he will come out and attack you in the night.
He comes out and he goes, I'm the bag man. I'm the bag man.
His whole thing,
I'm the bag guy.
I'm the bag.
I'm the bag.
I'm the bag man. The whole Curse of Strahd campaign or whatever is designed about how it's supposed to be able to, like, draw you as thin as physically possible. Like, it never gives you a break the entire game. Like, so every night watch is actually really intense. Like, you have, like, almost a 50% chance of getting attacked in the middle of the night.
That's tight.
Like, you are never safe.
Whoa.
And so it's just like, yeah, the Bagman himself, I don't think has really that insane of stats, but it's like, oh, you went to a safe, like, little inn that's, like, guarded by magic against werewolves and vampires. So it's the one spot they can't get you tonight. And then the Bagman comes out and you all have, like, 15 hit points. And just starts taking you out at night. Just like, and it's just like, what are you going to do? And then he does take your body and then he shoves it into the bag of holding with him, because he also has a sim. He travels from bag of holding to bag of holding. So he has his own pocket dimensional tunnel system from bag of holding to bag of holding.
See, this is so rad.
It really is. Curse of Strahd is super rad.
I think a new section of this breakdown podcast is just, Drew, tell us about a niche guy. Tell us about tell us about a guy that we don't know about. And Drew just talks about it for about 5 minutes. And then we go, thank you, Drew. And then we go back, you know, it's like, because I didn't know about the Bagman, but that's freaking sick. That's so cool.
Yeah, we're gonna go to Drew's information corner.
Yeah,
and then we'll come back in a moment.
That's such a cool idea for a bad guy, and the going between bags of holding feels so obvious, but that's so dope though. You know, like it's like, I don't know. It's like it's like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? You know, it's like, that's such a cool way for a guy to move around.
Now I just want you guys to go pick up that bag of holding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we should.
I'm the bag guy.
Oh, yeah. But that gives me another idea of like a cursed item, but it's essentially just there were like 20 bags of holding that were made and they're completely normal, except they were just distributed among 20 different people and only the party only has one. But they, instead of having separate pocket dimensions, it's just a bag of holding that all 20 go to the same place. And so it's just like they reach in, they're like, where's my sword? Why are there 5 platinum bars? And so it's just like 20 people who are like, stop taking my stuff. As just things are randomly being distributed.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Bagman's there probably. But like, I mean, he's usually there, I think, somewhere.
I think the Bagman is all, I think that he's both always there and also the friends we made along the way.
Honestly, the Bagman might just be friendship. Like,
that's beautiful. The,
like an allegory for friendship, but
not an allegory.
You think the
capitalism.
You think the Bagman is good?
No,
he's good.
No, oh. He's good, but he's not safe. He
he's not safe.
He's risky. He's dangerous, but he's good.
Okay. Any other predictions?
James Dean or Aslan?
James Dean or Aslan.
Dangerous but good. People who have seen Rebel Without a Cause know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sorry guys. I'll find you the picture of the Bagman. I was looking for it. Oh, there he is.
Oh, he's not as cute as I thought he'd be. I thought he'd be round. And shaped like a friend.
He's long and shaped like a villain.
Can't wait.
Dang it.
All right. No, remember, there are three of us. And we're level five.
So please wait. Even if you feel like you can't wait, please wait. We can handle it.
You'll be fine.
You just have to remember one of the two of them need to have most of their hit.
How about I stop trying to kill you guys when you stop killing my monsters in two rounds? How's that?
Get better, scrub. That's all I got to say.
All right. Any other predictions?
I don't really have that many predictions. Like, I have things that, like, we'll just get up to the other stuff. I believe we will end up saving the dog. I don't know if we'll actually end up successfully doing that by the end of episode 3 or not, but I do believe that is something that we're going to try and focus on. And I do believe that unless Noah can pull a shenanigan, there will just be another corpse on the ground before the like 10 to 15 minutes are up.
Yeah.
But there's a chance.
I mean, you don't know who you're fighting yet.
It doesn't really matter.
It might.
She shot his brother.
No. What I mean is that you feel very confident you'll be able to take her down.
It's hard to fight back when you don't have arms.
Justice, it sounded like you had a theory.
Yeah, I was saying I think we might end up going to get Frankie the dog, and end up with a bag of holding. That will only be good for us.
Oh yeah.
It'll for sure. It'll just be a total net good.
See, I would have believed you before we recorded this breakdown. I would have been like, yeah, you're right. But now I'm like, oh, the bag guy.
We'll see.
I also was slightly wrong. The bag man can go through any bag related object. It does not need to necessarily be a bag of holding.
God.
He can come out of any bag or box.
No.
Oh,
nobody's
nowhere is safe.
Yeah.
Oh man. Will's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
He's covered in bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His cargo shorts, just the bag.
Just five arms come out and grab him.
No. We're like the bad guy is coming after us, so we need you to not wear cargo shorts for a while. And teary-eyed Will goes, I don't think you understand what you're asking me to do.
Where would I keep my granola? Where would I keep my granola?
Will eventually actually works out a deal with the bag man, and the bag man teleports Will where he needs to go, and they just like kind of fold in on themselves like a pocket dimension. And then Will just appears somewhere else out of a different bag, out of someone else's bag, just crawls out. And it's just a new way of transportation. It's just like, all right, I need to go to this country or whatever. And he's like, all right. And then just like crawls out of like somebody's backpack. Just like, they're like, when did you get in there? He's like, I never was in there. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. One little segment I would like to do. Yes, I know that half the stuff that Ellis did is not by the book.
It's awesome.
Yeah. We understand.
It's awesome. Don't be a nerd.
I have a feeling that people...
It's awesome. I'm talking specifically to the fans who are upset about this. Don't be a nerd.
Okay.
It was fun. It was cool. If you got a problem with it, say it's my face.
I'm also talking specifically to those people as well. Think about it like this. You can do this in D&D. You can hold your action. Okay. That fireball that blew up inside the gelatinous cube, all that was a held action.
Right.
Okay. And the Arcana check and Z giving up one of his attacks mm-hmm. was the cost in order for it to do double damage. Okay. By basically finagling it. But all it really was a delayed fireball with like a little bit of a cost in order to make it do more mm-hmm. damage.
And if you got a problem with it, you don't have to listen anymore.
Yeah, but you should listen though, because
you should.
It was fun.
Yeah, we want you here. Please stay.
Please stay.
We're not trying to scare you away.
please.
I am cutting a heel promo because there needs to be a heel in the group. But
all right, anybody have any parting thoughts?
I really like bagels, but I feel like they should there should only be like a few kinds. Like there's plain, put cream cheese on it. There's everything, which isn't really everything. And then there's like some sort of like savory kind of bagel as well as like everything. When people mess around with like chocolate or blueberry or something like that, I'm just like, get a donut, you know?
So how much of the sky do you think, guys, that Aang could like just split if he wanted to? Like the actual sky.
I'm running like, the numbers.
In a straight line.
I'm running the numbers. It's saying all.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I would say at least most, the vast majority, if he wanted to. And I would just, I would love to know the repercussions of just like splitting the sky in half. But like, I feel like he could do it.
I also have a question for you guys as a parting thought. How many triangle pushups do you think that Fodder could do in a single run?
Negative three.
I think minus one.
Negative three. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking like a crisp 30. I think he would
stop three people from doing them.
Triangle pushups.
Yeah. Before I was thinking he would do a squat. Like you would ask for a triangle pushup and he'd do a squat and just walk away because he got
Fodder's stronger than you guys think he is. You just wait. You just wait till he throws down. He's got something to him.
I love Ransom just keeps like correcting other people on how strong Fodder is, and Fodder's he has no so control or information.
Fodder is wildly powerful, and you guys just don't get it.
But I think my theory is that Noah designed Fodder in a way that Beetle could kill him. And so I'm assuming that he probably has few enough hit points that Beetle could one hit KO Fodder.
We didn't even talk about the Beetle reveal.
Oh yeah.
The Beetle was just okay, just chilling inside a gelatinous cube.
Yeah, what are your guys' thoughts on that? What do you think's coming on?
I don't know.
I have no clue, to be honest. Like I really like there's things that I would do to make that happen. But you notoriously go away from book with things like that. So like all the rules and stuff in my head are way different. So I don't really know at all. I'm excited to find out for sure.
I don't know what's up with Beetle, but I do think that it might have to do with the specific brand of cat food that Isaac's been getting her. I think
he's got her on Purina.
I might do it, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't go with the off brand. He gets, you know, he gets fresh, good stuff.
He's got some like hippy dippy stuff that he makes himself. Like there's no way he gets stuff from the store.
And then she eats his food and he eats.
Yeah, for sure. He's definitely he hasn't got to eat at a normal meal in years.
So what you're the fact is the prediction is actually that Isaac eats cat food. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think, but only because Beetle eats his food. Like, I don't think it's a choice. It's just like, I can't make more human food for me.
Well,
I'll just eat this cat.
As food. A druid, I mean, I think he's eaten a lot of things that a normal human might not,
like a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has Isaac eaten a person? Because if he was a wolf at the time, it's not cannibalism.
Yeah, doesn't count.
So I have one parting thought as we wrap this podcast up.
Okay.
So this episode took place the day after everything that happened in the first episode. And Will, you made a promise in that first episode that you were going to go grocery shopping. And last I checked, you didn't.
She's dead.
I think, honestly, Will has forgotten. And it's about to occur to him. And it's going to crush him. And
he'll take out his notebook after the fight and be like, well, got to jot this down real quick.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, eggs.
Eggs.
Yeah.
I forgot the rest of the list.
I bet that Ellis has that in his apartment, though.
a lot of that stuff.
The Shrine of Tabalmont? No.
No, not... Yeah, well, it, technically, maybe.
Well, he does. Yeah.
All right. Does anybody have any ideas for how we should end this thing?
Goodbye.
Gosh, dang it.
I think that is it, yeah. Just Drew saying, yeah.